No spin, just the facts, the questions, the answers. Chris Lynch on Newstalk ZB.
A possible end in sight for a group of uninsured Christchurch homeowners whose properties were red zoned during and after the earthquakes. Well, after not being offered anything for their quake damaged land and homes, the Court of Appeal in an interim decision has found the minister's decision was unfair, unreasonable and unlawful. So where are things now? To discuss this, I'm joined by the group's lawyer, Grant Cameron. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris.
A background this case for us. What did these homeowners actually want?
Well, the minister made a decision way back in time now to create red zones. Much later in time, the Supreme Court declared that that was, in fact, an unlawful decision. So the minister had no power to create red zones. But setting aside that point, everybody in those red zones were then basically given a choice to stay or go. But the Crown made it very clear that they really couldn't stay, and they went, or basically said to people, look, you won't be able to get insurance, you won't be able to get banks to provide you with loans. It's basically going to turn into some sort of criminal ghetto. There won't be any services, and ultimately we may have to compulsorily acquire you anyhow. So basically,
but weren't they offered some money for their homes, even if they were uninsured?
Yeah, at that point, the Minister or the Crown made a decision to buy people's land and buildings at 100% of the rating value in 2007. However, it also said that that offer would only apply to insured people. So in 2012, it suddenly became apparent that somehow uninsured people were not going to be treated on the same basis.
Okay, so if they were uninsured, then they would be getting nothing from the government at all, despite the fact the government red-zoned their properties. Is that correct?
Well, almost. It's a bit like the government taking properties from motorway. If it wants to acquire the properties, it just has to pay market value regardless of the circumstances of the individuals. In this case, they didn't say what was going to happen to the uninsured people. And it was another 18 months before they then produced an offer. And they said, look, we'll pay the uninsured people 50% of their land value. So they wouldn't get anything for the value of their house.
So what has this interim decision said, and what does it mean now for these people?
Well, the group that was formed back then had to take a judicial review process. It won in the High Court, effectively won in the Court of Appeal, and certainly won again in the Supreme Court. And the result of all of that was that the minister was told that he had acted unreasonably through that process, and he was directed to reconsider, taking into account the very specific things that were set out in the Supreme Court judgment. Late 2015, he made another decision, and all he did was to increase the offer from 50% of land value only to 100% of land value. Well, of course, that again left people with improvements on the land with most of their equity had been ignored. So we had to file a second round of judicial proceedings. We've now got to the Court of Appeal, and they've confirmed that he acted unlawfully, unreasonably, unfairly. So he set aside the High Court judgment that the Crown had achieved, and basically new offers will have to be considered again.
What do you hope those new offers will be?
I think there are very strong signs in the Court of Appeal judgment, which effectively endorses what the Supreme Court had earlier determined, that the time has come to make 100% offers to these people, and also
100% offers, but
there should be some sort of compensation for the long delay in the matter.
100% offers in terms of the land value or their homes or both?
No, it has to be both, land and buildings.
Doesn't it make a mockery of those who did the right thing in the first place and insured their homes?
No, insurance has got absolutely nothing to do with it. It's a perfectly valid decision in some cases not to insure. If you can self-insure because you're wealthy enough, that's fine. In many other cases, there were very genuine reasons as to why people were not insured. But insurance has nothing to do with the Crown's desire to take a whole area, take a suburb, and then remove everybody off that piece of land.
And that's the important distinction the court has made, right?
Yes, indeed. It said that insurance might be a relevant factor, but to such a small degree that it could in no way have been the basis upon which the decision-making was made. And when you actually get further into the detail of the insurance argument, it's really completely hollow, Chris.
So because this interim decision has been made, what's the next process, Grant?
Well, if you like, you can think of it as the court saying to the parties, look, we have declared what the legal position is, the minister acted unlawfully, etc. The parties now have an opportunity to come back to us and tell us what the specific remedy should be. Now, the courts are rather reluctant to, you know, make decisions for ministers, but where you've gone through two judicial review processes, ultimately the court has to make a decision if the minister's not going to. Now, Nikki Wagner, of course, is now the new minister. Nikki will only be coming up to speed on these issues now. She's probably not been fully informed about the matters in the past. We think she's a very reasonable person. We'd very much like to sit down and talk to her about it.
So, of course, because Nikki is the minister responsible for all earthquake matters, does she now take on this responsibility too, of a different offer?
Yes, she does. And I think she's got the guidance now from the Supreme Court and now again from the Court of Appeal. It's very, very clear what must happen.
Lawyer Grant Cameron, thanks very much for your time this morning. I do appreciate it.
No trouble. Thank you.
Thank you. It is News Talk ZB.